hears all her. Are you ready for us, Debbie?
Recording in progress.
Father, community, Tuesday, February 28th, 2023, to order. Debbie, if you can call the roll, please.
Sure. Tagliati?
Here.
DeGeronimo?
Here.
Welchanowicz?
Here.
And we have four items on our, well, five items on our agenda, but at the last council meeting, we had ordinance number 2023-10, which was the ordinance that removed the City of Independence from NOPEC. And after the meeting, Jenny Costanzo from the NOPEC organization came up to Councilman Burke and I and explained that there were some statements that could use clarification. She didn't realize that she could have had an opportunity to speak at the meeting, so I invited her today to come fill us in on some of that. And she actually brought the big brass, Chuck Kepler, for no very often. We'll give you two to the floor.
Well, I'll just really, in order to save everybody time, I did review the minutes, and I just kind of lined out exactly a few things that I thought could use some clarification. So it's short, and then the reason I listed someone like, please come, is because if you do have questions, and I don't know the answer, who knows everything about NOPEC. So, you should, right? So I said, based on my review of the council minutes, there's just a few things that I want to, take the time to clear up or to at least, kind of say it the way I know it. First of all, and probably the most important, NOPEC has never lost its certification as an aggregator. NOPEC has never lost its certification as an aggregator. It was said differently. Yes, we were under review, which we knew we were going to be under review because of the advocacy move that we made for all of our residents. So once again, NOPEC has never lost certification as an aggregator. We are still in business. In fact, we're actually still serving some Independence residents today for electric. So we also, as of this moment, have a suburb in Cleveland, one of the suburbs that is actually choosing to join NOPEC right now. They're joining us for electric because they had years and years of a consultant. They were paying her, and they wanted to stop having to deal with the bidding process for 2 to 3 years. So it's a large suburb in Cleveland right now joining us. They did want NOPEC because they knew that with NOPEC, your residents will get more choices than any other aggregator out there, because we offer more choices than any other aggregator out there. We do. Never a fee, never a termination. Our bosses are your residents. Right here, Nick Molnar, dad of three kids. Some of you guys know him, Northfield. He's the mayor there. He's one of our bosses. So I just wanted to clear all that up right there. I think that's already some different things. Last fall, yes, your residents did receive a letter. They received a letter in the mail. The purpose was to let them know that we chose, as NOPEC, as your aggregator, we chose to return them to a rate that was well below what the market was. NOPEC, one of our rates, follows the market. The market went insane last spring. I mean, you guys know, 12 cents, whereas 4 years ago, everybody was paying 2 and 3 cents per MCF for gas. We saw a rate out there, and as your aggregator, we made the hard move, but we knew it. We talked to our board. We talked to your residents. We said, we have to do this because we are an advocacy. That's one of our missions. We're advocate. We have to return all of our customers to the PTC because that rate is drastically under market and will be till June. We had people say, don't do it, don't do it. We had to go to our supplier who we, made a contract with, and we had to really negotiate with them, but we said, we're doing it. So we knew that we might have our certification under review because this was an unheard of step. To be honest, you will not find another for-profit company or not-for-profit ever, ever taking their customers, taking us out so we are no longer in the business somebody else. We did that. We had to send a letter to everybody, which we did last fall. That was the letter that was referenced in your meeting. The purpose was to let them know that we chose to return them to a rate well below the current market pricing. This is a hard decision, but we did it to honor our mission, which is aggregate, advocate, and educate. Going on to educate, our customers, well, let me skip on to the education. Currently, NOPEC is still your aggregator, and will be until you guys, which it sounds like you already left. We already got the ordinance, but I just wanted to let you guys know that. The particular first energy rate, the PTC rate, we always knew this. It's going to drastically go up in June, but we knew what it was because we follow the market, we follow the, the auctions, and therefore when procurement commissioner, the procurement director, I don't know if he's a director, said that, we would expect to be back in business in May or June. I think he might have got confused because May and June is when we're going to be bringing all of our residents back onto the back in Drexel and Bellevue Heights and everywhere in 240 communities, because that's when the PTC is going to raise, we're going to be where we should be. So we planned all of that out. So now with another aggregator, I told you in the beginning, NOPEC has the most options. We absolutely have the most options. We have four different options for any gas customer, six different options for any electric customer. They could choose on and off. They could go out in between. They could really, meet what meets their best philosophy. And there's never any fees or termination fees. So if you go with another aggregator for gas, it is not true that a customer can choose to go and stay with the utility. Not for gas. For electric, yeah, you have the option of staying with the PTC price to compare electric, but not for gas. For gas, the customer says, I don't really want to go with what the city ABC's aggregator said. I'm going to call the utility and tell them. Fine, they'll do that. But the utility, after 1 or 2 months, is going to just randomly spin a wheel and put them on a natural gas supplier. Hence, you're putting those people out into the wild, wild west. And I shared this with procurement officer Dolchek, but I was one of those living right over here, 2 miles away, for 9 years. Unfortunately, I was not in this business. And I was on IGS, and when I started at NOPEC and I started to get really educated, I saw I was paying $8.62 per MCF back in April of 2018 when NOPEC was charging $2.74. Just because of gas, that's what it is. A little bit different than electric, but that is a reality. As an aggregator, you'll bring in, they'll have either the option to go with the gas aggregator, or they will not have the option of going to the utility. And then, try to clear up. I really tried to just pick out some of the more, not profound, but really standout statements. As far as education goes, we have always constantly provide education. Anytime, I just went to Brook Park Senior Citizens twice in the last 6 months. We provide copy for your newsletters. Anything at all, we have a 24/7 US-based call center that these people will answer every question, and it's not all about NOPEC. Again, NOPEC, our bosses are your residents. That's it. They're the people who have decided never termination fee. This is education, advocacy, and advocacy. So we would absolutely and will happily supply an answer. I've had my share of residents, and we also, starting last August, I think we tripled the staffing at our call center because we encouraged our rec center and our community center directors to reach out to us so we could come in and present to these people and so that they could have the residents call. So we absolutely do that. We want to do that. We have been doing that, and we hope to be able to continue doing that. Finally, this is something too. I know there was a section about how to communicate going forward now that you guys are with an aggregate, how you're going to be able to help educate your consumers, your residents. This is just something in the every month or every other month. This is what one of your neighboring community does. They have a little box for energy and electric. That's 10 boxes. This came out 2 days ago. He's Brad Spill. And He takes phone calls, he helps them, but by doing this, he's done this for, I think, what, 8 years, 9 years? They really are informed for the most part. He did see a larger concentrate of people calling him last fall, but by making sure that he put this out monthly, he really, you know, helps minimize the residents from getting the knocks on the doors. You know, NOPEC never goes to a, you know, NOPEC will never knock on doors under the people who have NOPEC tags and will knock on doors. So Ted addresses all that, but he particularly does this, like I said, for an education piece. And by doing it consistently, it has truly helped. He feels they feel pretty satisfied. So those were really the big things I wanted to address, the big states of misinformation. And, you know, in our climate right now, there's a lot of misinformation, and it's nobody's fault. You know, there's so much. Everybody sees one thing and they say tomato, tomato, right? But these are some of the more glaring things that I appreciate you guys allowing me to at least tell you so that, you know, you do know going forward and we go from there. So any questions, Chuck will take or I will take. But I wanted to, yeah. Oh, and here, this is something too for your, each of you for, this is just about our part, or about what we've done for you, for your community as being a member of us. And that's just been the last year or two, so.
I had a couple thoughts for that.
Thanks, thank you.
First of all, we did get your audience. So, that's always sad. It's happened only one other time in our history, so we are bad for to lose you on. We hope that you will have some kind of process that you can participate in. Very well, we have I will tell you, Jen mentioned that on the electric side, prices at the utility are going to go up in June. That means that if you are going to move your residents to a place that's not an open in time to avoid what's going to be probably an $8 to $9 price increase from where they're currently at, or put you money at the $5-$6 range. You're going to have made arrangements to do that probably in the next 4 to 7 weeks, or your people are going to have a month or two before you can settle in the high rate. So that's something important to know. On the gas side, there are rules about leaving that everybody agreed to when they joined NOPEC, the City of Independence included, which leave a situation so that nobody has to pay for anything that was, might have been bought for your community residents while moving out. So I think the notice that we got, because we have not yet begun buying electricity, I'll probably start buying electricity for that June period, literally on Wednesday, which is when we expect to have our certificate renewed. Jenny's point, we've never lost a certificate. We operated under the current one. What people like to say was they suspended us. They didn't. They took the process of renewal, which happens every 3 years, and said we're going to put it through this special process. That process is concluded. The staff at the PUCO issued a report the end of last week suggesting to their bosses, the commissioners, if they had done nothing wrong, nothing that they could find, no violations anywhere, they recommend that this certificate be approved at the next meeting, which is this coming Wednesday. So we anticipate that we will need to begin buying electricity for our customers for that June refresh. And at this point, we will not include you all in that, so we won't have bought it. Natural gas is a different issue. I've actually already bought a whole next 12 months of natural gas. The prices look a little nice and nice. So I'll probably have our law guy talk to your law guy so we can figure out the way craft is a practical way for you all to move on without a fee. That may take a little longer than you think. So my goal is not to get any money from anybody ever, but the rules were that no other community wanted to pick up the tab for other communities that came with. So we'll look at that and try to figure out a path that makes the most sense for the City of Independence. And we'll communicate that pretty well. Hopefully you'll have, again, a process for both. To Jenny's point, we think we have the best value proposition in the business, including making the hard choice when one time in 22 years, the market took a surprise turn and walking literally through a hot fire for a number of months. Residents didn't have to be, and I'm proud of that, right? Can't think of any for-profit company that would have done it. I can't think of any vendor that would have done it. We follow all the aggregations, so we know what everybody's prices are. I can tell you there are plenty of people who bought before that all started. That was the luck of the draw, by the way, and got through it okay. And plenty who did exactly what we did, but they were smaller, under the radar, so they held us accountable when that messed somebody else. And after the accounting said, well, I couldn't do anything. So we're proud of that. So that's it. I wanted to personally say we appreciated you all as members. We think that service is what we're all about. Serving you is what we're all about. We hope that someday in the future we'll get a chance to do that again. And whatever your process is for making a selection, we would love to be aware of so that we could have our product or our product work side by side with those products so you all can reach us.
Do consultants usually, is NOPEC, do they usually have NOPEC as one of their options, or is it, and
most consultants will choose NOPEC as an option because they get paid based on what everybody uses, and we don't have that model. So I mean, we have found that. So, but I think if it's an apples to apples thing, and your selection isn't promising to pay your broker based on what all of your consumers use, then I think we would get a fair amount. Now, this happened once or twice, but usually what happens is the brokers who help you do that take a fee off of everything that your customers do. By the way, that's how I pay my bills too, right? At least for how we keep our how we do our program is a whole different.
And the grants, and that's explained.
Yeah, the grants.
None of it comes from.
So we hope that process will give us an opportunity to tell you all again as you're looking at a comparison way. What we do and why we do. We've enjoyed serving you, and I just want to thank you. We are very appreciative of being able to be your provider for such a long period of time. We're sad to see you.
Well, thank you. Now, if I remember correctly from the meeting, this opting out or the vote that we took, it would terminate our agreement with you on December 31st of this year, but there is a period between now and then that we can opt back in. Is that correct?
Well, I didn't read your ordinance that clearly. There is, and the rules say once you notify us that you're out, unless you go back through the process. So. And the rules are the plan of operation governance that every community agreed to has been amended over the years. So that is not a provision that's in that, generally speaking. That said, I think that we would love to figure out a way to make that a reality. We have always been about service first. It's really about you and what you want for your citizenry and your small businesses and how we can help you accomplish that for them. There's a way to figure that out, we will. But we'll have to go back and look at the rules and figure out how that all fits in there. I just haven't had a chance to do that because I literally just got it.
Chuck, when you say, now that you received it, so they're out, and you said you have to start the process, does that mean, and then like joining, having a community joint broker, having a community joint broker, that process?
Again, I have to read the ordinance. I think the answer is yes. It was also unclear to me, for example, from the letter, whether it was just going to be gas or just be electric. It sounded like the letter was going to be electric and maybe gas. I could see from the ordinance that it was both.
Yeah.
Right. So that was, but it was unclear from the letter I received which one it's going to be. So we'll just start to kind of figure that all out. And I haven't read the ordinance close enough because I literally was handed to it. I said, I gotta get in the car, go. I don't read and drive, so I'll go back and read it the rest of the way. So if there is that your thoughts, I appreciate that. That'll give you a chance to go through whatever process you've been doing that thing and give us a chance to then figure out how to get everything from the administrative side so that there's no fees if you do sign the call. So I think that was probably wise. Again, I didn't get to read it that close because it literally arrived. Half an hour is what I left.
And you stated that there's 240 communities that you service, and there's only been one other community that's left?
Just last week, we had one that's pretty close, within 20 miles from here, who's trying to get on their own they're probably half aware of the process of removing them today. They have 11,000 people.
Yeah, people still join. In fact, the city of Reynoldsburg has indicated they're more centralized. They did not give a good bike around. I think a lot of people don't want to be bothered by the bottom half of, you know, I don't want to do a pitch. You guys have chosen the path. We respect that. We certainly respect you all. And we'll work with you to figure out what that means. On our side, there's a process that you're going to do from a selection standpoint. We'd love to be able to be a part of that because that's what we do.
Yeah. You guys have any questions about what everything that we just said? We said a lot.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So I can't comment from my perspective. You got included with Jonas Lee, who wasn't aware that you were. We're coming today is really the taking the lead on kind of this process, but I'll say from a community services standpoint, to your comments about it, we've been very transparent from the get-go that going back to NOPEC was always an option. So, but I said that specifically. I mean, you can quote me in the meetings with the council. So that would certainly be, yes, you would certainly be included in that process and the option of the city going back. Should I, if it's in the best interest of our residents, is absolutely a possibility.
I mean, that's perfect. The only thing that I would say, like Chuck said, is unfortunately, that's awesome, and it's great that we are, but there's a standard that in order to come back into the aggregation, it's a process, right? So you probably couldn't just be, you know, when you made the decision, you made the decision. It'll be, we could, but it's a lot more challenging. It'll be, you know, like meetings and things like that.
Sure, and I'm not going to speak to anything more than I'm educated on, which is just the comment that was a possibility.
That's the smartest thing I've ever
done. I don't want to put Dennis on the spot again since he wasn't able to join from the get-go, but I did, before you walked in, send you a note that you would want to watch the commentary of this meeting. So you're
able to see. I'm just getting over COVID. I tested negative last Thursday, but you know, you got to wear a mask.
You've had a tough summer, tough spring, I guess.
Well, it's good to see you again.
Yeah.
Where does it get the information?
I have a question. You join back in. Chairman?
Yes.
What brought up the change, like getting out? What was it, like what brought that up?
I can't
speak to that.
You know, with the, first of all, NOPEC currently, and I don't even know if they've, you made any more headway with getting recertified.
Well, we are certified.
We always.
Okay, but that's what they said. They never lost.
We are, but you've never not been certified. I think that was kind of not understood clearly.
But you're in there to get your certificate renewed currently?
Yes, and I believe that process will end favorably on Wednesday. The staff have recommended that.
Okay, that was one of the things that we knew that was hanging up there in the air. Mm-hmm. I think NOPEC, you know, did put out early on information that you hope to have your notification if you're going to be a PUC overall, renew your certificate by June.
That's the people back on.
Right.
I think
okay.
The people.
Yeah, so it's still, you know, in a transition period. Believe me, I think that, you know, first of all, if you have the opportunity to see any of the information that we did put out, we did say, hey, look, NOPEC's been a good partner for 20 years.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We you know, always worked well together, and this is just, you know, a speed bump in the road. But, you know, the bottom line is, NOPEC chooses or proves to be the best solution for our residents. That's the direction we would go.
We just
want to have the option to look at that. We will give you an opportunity to present.
You will give us an opportunity in the RFP. Okay. Well, that would be great.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah. And then again, it sounds like we need to, if in the future, and I don't know how long you've been here. I've been a new person, but we could really help the seniors. We do. Like I said, I was in front of Burke Park, wonderful senior citizens, I think twice in the last, you know, just few weeks, just really helping. We did that. That's what we do. You know, that's part of our mission. So we can help with copy. We have news at Tablux. He does his own monthly, as I said. But that's just something, again, I think I'm putting the cart before the horse because, you know, we don't even know if we're in the RFP. So we'll see how it goes and see. Good luck to you guys. And we're sorry. We were surprised, very surprised. We had no idea. Again, you are the only one that I've had. The second one that NOPEC brought in lights and as council noted, they came back after a few years. So, but yeah, we I think it was just maybe a lack of information. I don't know. But again, we will have, you know, all of our choices are on there. You'll see it all. So your customers will always have choices, whether they want you know, variable or a fixed rate. They'll always be able to do anything they want. And in Ted Lux's Brexel article, you can move within rates for no charge. So those are all really important, really distinguishable things for the future. I don't know when it will, maybe 6 months for you guys to decide.
And I will say, Dennis, because you weren't here for the first part, I do think we should have an offline conversation, because my understanding of the information that Dennis shared is that our membership does go till the end of the year. And so the information that we're understanding about this decision that was made, we should get some clarity on that.
Yeah, Chuck just said we,
yeah. Okay, I haven't read it. I'm going to read it.
Figure out what we need to say.
And one last question, the exit fees that you referenced, there was no talk or mention of any fees.
The goal is never to have exit fees. Communities are free to come and go, but there are administrative costs and charges to having all that done. So the rules basically said you got to have the right kind of notice. So if it's noticed at the end of the year, I'm sure that's going to make that happen. What that means is you won't buy any electricity or natural gas for your residents past that point, right? I don't know what's going to happen in the market, but we're laying out kind of those plans now. I've already bought natural gas for the next 12 months for the whole organization. We had a nice window. We thought that was a good opportunity. We had to seal that from the bumpiness that's been in that marketplace. The natural gas world changes these days, so does the electricity world. More and more natural gas is used to make electricity in this state and around this country, in fact, around the planet. So the goal is not to ever charge anybody. We've never, when Robert Heisler left last time, we didn't charge that anybody, by the way.
I think our understanding is that we had to let you know by September in order to, as part of the contract. I don't know that in depth, but that's just what was shared with me. So I'm just sharing with you for what is our understanding.
The way that works is you have to let us know a certain amount of time ahead of an anniversary. So you actually miss that window for gas. But if it's through the end of the year, there's so much time between now and then we'll be able to figure that out. I don't think that's a problem. The same with electricity. I haven't started buying that. I won't until my certificate gets promised forward, because there's a big carrying cost if you start to buy stuff and don't have customers. Like, that's not a good thing to be in. So we have time to figure that out too if it's to the end of the year. But if it's to the end of the year, we'll figure the city's residential small business loan through December 31st and buy that and then stop. And then once you know what your process is, then we can figure that out. So the goal is never to charge anyone. The folks, when they set this all up, all agreed that no one community should have to carry the cost from another community. And that's why there's a system that notification allows them to not carry and cost and spread those to customers that don't live someplace.
That makes sense. Like, if Brexel left, you guys don't want to have their load of so many megawatts.
Yeah. And it's the truth is, it's probably not a lot. We've never had to figure that out. The goal is not to make it the prison effect, it's to make it a choice vehicle that you get to choose and come and go from your pockets. Thanks, I appreciate it. Good to see you. You all feel better?
No, I feel fine.
Okay, good. Thanks, I'll get out of here. Thank you very much. What's back?
All right, well, with that behind us, and the reason why NOPEC didn't appear on the agenda is Jenny's daughter had a baby, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday, so I couldn't, we were communicating, and then she kind of went silent for a little while with the arrival of the new baby, so I couldn't confirm before the agenda was put together that she would be on it. And now we will move on to the first thing on the agenda, the Recreation Department 2022 year-end review.
Yes.
Take it away, Tom.
Thank you, Chairman. Just going to review here, 2022 year. Kind of got on track here a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. Okay, so to start with, on the first page, we have all our revenues for the year. But I didn't compare last year's just because we're coming out of the pandemic years. So we basically consolidated them to just focus in on what we did this year and how much we brought in this year. I'm not going to go into too much into the weeds here too much, but as we're going along, if anyone has any questions, just please stop me and we can.
What was the, I know that we have different policy now on renting out the field house and everything. How much did that affect the income for the city?
Right. When we get to that, I'll go over more, but okay. It did affect it by, I would say about 60,000, but overall, when you look at the benefits now of our residents being able to use it on the weekends, from the travel teams to the high school sports teams, there's a lot of happy residents now that, that they're not shut out on the weekends, and also the walkers that walk.
Did that affect any of our businesses? I know when those tournaments were going on, the restaurants were on Rice Center, but it didn't affect them much.
I heard nothing. I don't think anybody else heard anything, but nothing really at all. So, I know there's a little bit with that, but I heard nothing from the businesses at all. Because I think some of them, we frequent at night sometimes the businesses in Rockside. Sometimes you go down there, Red Robin's still short-staffed. I mean, a lot of the restaurants down there, they're still short-staffed. I mean, a couple of times we went to Red Robin, I think on an off topic, but and half the tables were open. They were like, well, how about all these other tables? They're like, well, we don't have enough staff. So, I think the restaurants are still struggling to get staffing too, anyway, going back here, so this is all of our income that we took in for the year, and then you're at almost $279,000. And I did check back in 2019, which was the last year we did a total because COVID was 20, and we were at $340,000. So the difference is a little bit with the field house, so that's why we had a little difference there. But so, and then going on to Civic Center attendance and number of passes. So this is on the left side is the each month the attendance figures for the for the rec side of the Civic Center, and we're up to about 100,000 for the year. And on the right side shows the passes that we have sold to the rec side of the building, and broken down into the type of pass. The family annual, so we had 491 passes sold, which in a family pass, there's different numbers for each family. Like, some people have 7 people in their family, some people have 3-4 people in their family. So out of that, we figured that out, and there's actually 3,786 individuals in those bed bank of 491 family passes. Individual passes were at 546, senior passes 662. Over 90, we have 9 of those, and those are actually free passes. We give free passes to the over 90 group. We have 13 disabled. And the people that are employees that don't live in the city, this is what we have here. We have 4 family passes, which are total up to 39 individuals. And then we have 12 individual passes. So our employees aren't, that's a manageable number in our building, and not overtaking. And, I know that was a question a few years ago that, would that be a pressure on our building, and it really wasn't. So total of passes that we have, individuals in town that have passes for the building is a little over 5,000. Next slide basically tells daily fees, daily guests, I should say. Some residents that don't have a pass opt to pay. They only come in once in a while, so they'll pay a $2 fee. So We made, brought in 14, a little bit over $1,400. And then the guests that come in with residents, they brought in 7,000. And then the U12, under 12 people, non-residents is 434. So we have a total, also a total of 396.
And what is the U12 daily fee?
That's $2.
$2?
Yeah. And the guests are $5 and the residents are $2. So that covers the Civic Center. The next goes on to the outdoor pool. We had a fairly good outdoor pool season. The weather cooperated for most of the time. And again, the top numbers on the left there are pool guests daily fees. We had that's guests now. So we had 2,288 people. So that brought us in a little bit over 11,000. And then again, at the outdoor pool, sometimes people don't want to buy a pass. They have to just come in on a daily basis. And that was 1,192 people. So, and then passes for the outdoor pool. And that 1,685 individuals should actually go on the line of family passes. So we had 351 individual passes, 380 family passes, 194 seniors, and then the employees that are entitled, every full-time employee is entitled to a pass down there via 20 individual, 78 family, and 282, which equates to 282 individual, and then the grandparent passes. We had 134, which is still a manageable number. I know that was brought up a few times too, that the grandparent pass was bringing in a lot of non-residents, but 135 passes really aren't that many for that size of facility that we have. So total passes for the outdoor pool were 2,696. And then there were our tenants figures on the right. We were at about 33,000 and broken down by month.
And about that, sir, at the first page, outdoor pool pass is about 45,000. That is just pool pass, when it's 33,000 visits, essentially. Or is that Civic Center passes as well?
The outdoor pool pass, the new passes, no, that's for the outdoor pool.
Is membership of the Civic Center pass? Or is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there any, I don't know if you may have it already. Is there any way to find out and keep a tally on how many people are using the splash pad?
Yeah, we could probably come up with a way.
Just out of curiosity, you know, we spent the money on it. I'm curious how many people use it.
Yeah. We'll make it seated this year. It's going to be used a lot more.
We're going to run the gas line directly to your house. And you can pay the gas there.
So then going on to the field house. So our rentals were $47.65. Again, we had a couple of these events, which will be in the next page here. The marketing banners, we're still doing the marketing banners, and then the guest fee at the field house. And so we brought in for the field house total of $88, so almost $9,000. And this attendance figure, that's just people that swipe in when they come in to walk. Whether they come in with their kids with a stroller, it does not take into account all the events, the practices, and that's the main purpose for that venue is practices. And that attendance figure is not in that number. That number would be in the tens of thousands for if we included everything. With that model that we're working off of now, we're going to keep going with that. I mean, unless anybody here is hearing anything otherwise, I think we got a good handle on that. We are having a couple of events still, like we're going to have a card show, a trading card show, which I think is a good family event. So if somebody brings us comes to us with an event that we think that would benefit the whole community, we will still do it. But this thing of closing the whole field house down for the whole weekend, where also a for-profit person come in and use that place, we're not going down that avenue. I think the residents are very happy with that. So last year we did a couple of the events. And then the high school had a couple of large wrestling events, which helped the booster club and helped our high school sporting teams with all the amenities that they took in for that. So, and then the other biggest thing that we have there is the train and toy show, which that's coming up here this weekend, right? And that's coming up this weekend, yep.
And how did that pickleball tournament work out?
They did good. They had 150 participants, and then went to both Saturday and Sunday, and we worked out that nice. I talked to Freddie about team yesterday.
I see you should really be taking on interest in the
After Kiwanis meeting last night, they said it was extremely successful, and they're very thankful of all the effort and energy that your staff put towards helping them out with that. Because apparently there was a pickleball during the day, and then there was a wrestling tournament in the evening, and then they had to convert it back into pickleball the next day.
So. Right, yeah, it was kind of a
It's the first sectional wrestling was that? Or districts? Or your district?
Well, it was mostly in the high school gym. I don't know. I think it was. Is it district?
Yeah, I think it's where you've been in the spring. So yeah.
But they were very appreciative.
Yeah, of course. Still, we'll move on here to the again some of our sports participation and revenue. Again, I'm not going to go into these numbers too much, but I just want to note the bottom. Bottom three is some new programs we started. Ryan spearheaded the K-2 basketball program. We took it to the next level. We just, in the past, prior years, we just had like skills clinics going on. Where now, we not only had the skills clinics, and they were actually taught by some of the Cavs youth sports people. But after that, a few weeks of that, it wasn't like we started. And then we went into actually picking teams, and we divided teams up, and the kids like it, they take another 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
So they practice for 3 weeks after the skills, and they play 5 weeks again.
Yeah, so it was a nice program, an elevator program from what we had in the past. So, and then we had the summer fitness club, which Linda took it to the next level again. And then Ryan started, which we don't charge for that, on Friday nights over at the Elmwood Rec, which really is just picking up momentum, is the indoor cornhole league. Everybody's having fun over there on Friday nights. So that's all of the sports participation. We'll go over now to capital improvements for 2022. Again, we had a pretty busy year. We did the splash pad. A lot of the work was done in-house, and we had the contractor that did the actual work on the splash pad. We reconfigured that entrance to the pool area, and I think the flow, I did not hear no complaints. No, the flow into the pool wasn't affected. In fact, if you look at it, I can hardly tell if the splash pad was added to that pool because, it was just kicked, the fence was kicked down a little bit, and I think it all worked out. That location proved to be a good location. The utilities were all run far. We had to run utilities far, and it all worked out nice. So we added some new furniture at the outdoor pool, which we're gonna continue to change over to the new polywood. Emily got new furniture on her side of the building this past fall. So of course, us like that, we like to repurpose things. We ended up taking her old furniture over to our side, and we made a more inviting atrium over on our side. And as you can see in that one slide, the pool players just love to sit there now, and there was nice cozy chairs. And so again, we repurposed the furniture, and that's working out nice. And then another thing we repurposed was an old ping pong table. We made it into a shuffleboard and a young kid's little pool table. And in the evenings now, it's nice to see these our pool tables and our shuffleboard tables being used. So, and then another thing we worked on, all of our staff this past fall, was again taking our Christmas lights, trying to improve every year. We're not just stagnant with the status quo. We always are trying to improve and make things better. So we, again, this picture is the hoop lights we made around the outdoor pool turnaround. And then some other capital improvements on the next page here, the bocce courts. That was another big project we did this past spring. We added some more in a weight room, some more bench presses, and another Tim Smith machine we got replaced up there. So we're going to try to keep on top of everything up in the weight room. Roller green floor, racquetball court, and the gym was all resurfaced this past summer. We had a shutdown for about 3 weeks, and we had Ohio Floors come in, and they totally stripped down the aerobic room and the racquetball court. And the gym just got a light sanding and was recoated. And things turned out real nice for those. Another part of our departments is the ICANN program, which Jim Wadwick heads up. And again, I can't be more prouder with him and what he's bringing in. I mean, it seems like there's always something going on here with ICANN. One of the big highlights that he brought was the adaptive bike program, which was at the field house, and this helped program that helped individuals with disabilities learn how to ride a bike, and it proved to be a real nice, nice addition, and we're going to bring it back again this coming year. And a few other classes that he had added on that was new this year. And again, we just had the dance this past Friday, and it stopped over there. I tell you, I bet you're shooting a video too of later on in the evening. I mean, it's just so nice to see the everybody just having a good time, everybody just smiling, and nice camaraderie with everyone. And again, just some more programs I listed that we did, and of course we got to have our friend in there, Mr. Starcella. He always seems to get himself and everything. So,
he's an institution.
That's right. That's really, yep. Yep. Absolutely. Going on to here, I'm going to have Ryan talk about our sustainability, because Ryan comes to us from the Economic Development Departments, and we had a couple people leave, which I'm going to go on at the end of my presentation here to talk about, and Ryan kind of stepped in kind of as a person that's doing a bunch of different things in our departments. He worked for us for like 3 years. 4 years when you were younger, and went to college, you graduated with a sustainability degree. And that's why we feel that he was a good fit in our departments. And he brought us sustainability with him. And so he's been kind of doing dual roles. And so far this year, he started a lot of nice things. And Ryan, you can go ahead with some of the stuff.
So we started off, we received over a $5,000 grant through the county for new recycling can decals. Hopefully everyone here has seen them. They're just supposed to help, you know, the residents understand recycling a little bit more, especially with, you know, the ever-changing rules of recycling. We started a new Earth Day program with St. Michael's, so we're actually scheduling that for this year right now. In 2022, we had over 30 kids come out. They picked up litter and they planted trees, so that was a success. And then working with community services, we did a recycling day presentation for the primary schoolers.
Where's the picture in your recycling costume?
I didn't have that. We started practicing more organic, natural practices in the park. So we phased out harmful products and implemented more safe products that are child and pet friendly. We have plenty of visitors on our ball fields and, you know, walking throughout the park with pets and children. They shouldn't be subjected to anything that potentially could be harmful. Worked with various departments to come to an agreement to make these LED streetlights in the coming years convert over to LED. We started converting over water dispensers that have the bottle refill stations on them. This encourages the practice of reusing rather than going through water bottle after water bottle. You can see that down by our ball field or even in the Civic Center. And then I think this was the biggest hit with staff was the new rechargeable grounds maintenance equipment. We purchased two Bush lawnmowers, hedger, and then weed trimmers with different attachments to it. The guys love it. They say they don't smell like gas at the end of the day, which is nice. We don't run into the issue of someone accidentally putting the wrong kind of gas into these things, and so on. So it was a busy year for sustainability, but a lot of, you know, beneficial and good programs that kind of kicked off, and we look forward to continuing in 2023.
Okay, the next slide just talks about, again, some of the new programs, YouTube basketball, the recycling day, movies in the park, which we're going to have additional movies in the park, summer fitness club and indoor cornhole league, and then a lot of this stuff Ryan has brought in and started. And then we're going to move on to 2023 plans, programs, and improvements. So we got a co-ed softball team league that we're going to bring back that's in the works. And how many do we have signed up so far?
Right now we're almost at 70.
So we got almost 70, and these are mostly residents, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. So it's residents that are allowed to bring one non-guest or non-resident guest, and then we're also opening up to employees. So I actually just got a text today from a couple of firefighters that are going to start a team. So that's going to add at least 10 to 12 more people to this league.
So this will be on Sundays again, like we used to be back in the day. Yeah, we also want to get that back started. We're looking at a youth kickball program that was brought up to us. Security cameras. I'm working with the IT department to expand our security throughout our park, the Civic Center parking lot, and the entrance to our building. So we're hoping to have that going by summer, some of these security cameras. The Civic Center parking lot we're going to be resurfacing this year. That's on the agenda with Don Ram. Keypad access to the splash pad, so that come May, when the pool's not open, residents can swipe their card and have access to the splash pad and not be able to get into the pool. And then we're working on the Qantas sound system improvements so that when there's a chicken barbecue or Fall Fest, home days, we're going to have a sound system, not only inside the pavilion, but on the outside.
That's a whole resurfacing on the parking lot, or is it just a top level ceiling?
It's going to be a mill and fill, no, it's just going to be new asphalt. Yeah.
Well, we use that as an opportunity to widen and install it.
Yeah, this is when we can do that, because everything will be a brand new and it will be better.
Yeah, I think the rest of us, the patrons, that'll soak that up.
Yeah,
they'll be very appreciative.
Yeah. And then, Family Swimming Middle School pool basketball, April's working on with the pool. We're going to be doing the annex pavilion roof. We're going to replace that. The playground replacement by the annex also is going to get replaced this year. The outdoor pool slide in the Diamond Bright, we just rejected the bids. We went out to bid this past spring, and we did get enough bids, we felt, and the bidders that did come in, we were a little uncomfortable with that at this time. So we're going to rebid this out with the new completion date. So we're going to run through the year again this summer with the slide and the activity pool with the way they were. We're working on a Elmwood Park Fitness link. Got a lot of inquiries from residents of a path where that would equal a mile. They want to keep track of how many miles they're walking or jogging or running. So we came up with a path that we're going to be making markers so you know that every quarter mile mark, there'll be a little post that says quarter mile, and the starting point will be over behind Diamond One.
And that is a 1 mile loop?
That yes. is right there, that's a 1 mile loop, yes.
Nice.
So, and it's a safe loop. We try different configurations. We're trying to keep people away from the traffic of the roads, and we felt that was really the best loop that we can make. So, and then the sand volleyball court. We want to put sand volleyball courts and put some mark down there, but it's going to be between the annex pavilion and the parking lot in the grassy area there. We want to put a sand volleyball court. We've been talking about this for years, and we're going to pull the trigger and get this done this spring. So, and then finally,
just for pickup pending, the president's going to have to pick up.
Pickup pending, yes. And we may start a league. We may
because there's a number, I know, like some of our places out there, Whiskey Island, they have a league there and the other place. So there's that could be a real nice attraction too, to bring people in.
Right. So, yeah, we're going to look into that too. Yeah. And finally, we, this past last year, we basically, two people retired, long-time director, common employees, and that's where Ryan came in and kind of filled the void here with the guys can wind up, do work outside like Dale does, and he is filling in for Cindy, and we did make Terry Gintel full-time, and she's been, but the roles want to be different, so that's why we're in the process of restructuring. We're going to look at everybody's, all the full-time job descriptions, and just move things around and maybe move responsibilities around and all that.
Great. Been a busy year for you, Tom, in the Recreation Department. Any questions?
No, I think we're moving in the right direction with youth. Good programming.
Thanks.
And so how many of these 2023 projects are you going to do in-house, like you typically have?
The slide and the diamond bright, that's all going to be done by a contractor. The volleyball court we're going to do ourselves. The playground project, we'll probably do the way we did the other one, and we'll have them come in. I don't think we got the money to put rubber around that one, so we're probably going to do mulch, so we'll have that built by the playground people, and we'll probably assist them. So it's going to be kind of a little bit of both. Got Roger carpeting now, I can't do as much as I used to, so.
Right.
But we're going to probably do whatever we can. So.
Is that equipment ordered and you know what we're putting in there?
It's not, that's going to be a fall, the playground will be replaced in the fall.
It was nice when Liberty might have been 5 years ago, when I think there was a couple of community meetings, or maybe every Saturday, things to do. Information can probably not stale. But again, if there's other ideas people had about that area.
Yeah, you know, maybe a new one.
Yeah, we can do it. Okay, now we're on the community service side.
On the community services. Okay, so I just wanted to touch base, and we started to touch base on the different aspects of community services. A lot of what you'll see on the screen are the services that we offer that you are mostly, I think, all familiar with, and I will add some additional commentary along the way, because that's kind of the fun side of that. So when we look at our No Place Like Home services, we see those being even more utilized, and people becoming more comfortable with utilizing them, which I think is a big thing, as we look to try to keep people in their homes and engaged as long as possible here in Independence, the fact that people are coming forward and inquiring about these programs, or their children are inquiring about these programs for parents, I think are really important. We'll talk a little bit more about numbers for the services and the welcome wagon. And then, of course, as always, our room reservations and rentals, which we'll get into a little bit as well. All right, so our adult and senior programming, again, on this thing is a list of programs in your packet that we offer throughout the year. And a lot of these are four kind of ongoing programs. I think kind of the two most exciting programs for the year were Better Bounds and our cooking demos. So prior to 2022, we were offering those classes, Better Bounds, once a week and the cooking demo once a month. And they were both gaining such popularity that we started adding a Better Bounds class, on Wednesdays as well, and adding a second cooking demo each month. Which continue to be full, and Better Balance is up to about 40 people a class, which is basically doubled since we added the second class, and that's really at the instructor's max capacity. So we're excited to see again that residents are taking advantage of these services that we offer. All right, community resources, it's a big slide. With Ben Mitron coming on board as our community resource manager in the fall of 2021, she has really added such tremendous value to our department, not only as a resource for herself, but the programming that she's been able to offer. And I think that you can see under all these health and wellness initiatives, like that's a pretty big list, as we've really focused on community wellness within her role. 2022 was our first annual wellness week that we expanded on in 2023. And I think the biggest compliment I can give for the second annual wellness week was that we had a lot of residents trying some new things, which they may never have otherwise been exposed to. And the feedback coming back was how thankful they were that we were focused on wellness and trying new things. And even if they didn't necessarily find that X activity was for them, they appreciated that the city offered it for people who would. I think another really important section of this is the community connections and services aspect. Jen has really integrated herself in her role into these different relationships with Campus Life, India Live, which is formerly 25 and Alive, and especially with the schools. The continuity of care that we're able to provide by having Jen being able to connect directly with the social worker at the school and have conversations about, you know, what's impacting our children in the school that we may see before school or after school and vice versa has been really powerful. And we've actually been able to get referrals from the school for programs like Yuletide, Adopt a Family, other things that have been able to refer people actually to the social worker at the school from our after school programs as well. Youth and Family Program. Last year, this was a really big emphasis for us, especially on our programming that was based around the school year. So we've seen significantly more preschool age programs being offered, whether it's yoga and mindfulness activities or mommy yoga or different kind of preschool pop-up activities. And we've seen those continue to sell out time over time, as well as the Fantastic Fridays. We really kind of branched out from the traditional just primary school age focus and really kind of looked at these four different categories. So family fun night, middle school hangouts, school and pizza parties, and then of course our classic primary Fantastic Fridays. The middle school's age group is the students that we're really looking to start to engage and have seen some more success as we've gone into 2023 as we kind of changed our approach with how we market and our registration deadlines there. And events like our pool and pizza parties sell out. I mean, within 2 days sometimes, and we're doing our best to accommodate wait lists with those and other events.
Do you run those through the summertime or is it strictly a winter?
So Fantastic Fridays run through the school year,
okay,
with the emphasis in the summer being Idea Camp and summer playground.
Okay.
But we have had conversations about doing kind of these pop-up programming as well. Typically in the summer, we see a drop-off in kind of attendance because families buy different vacations or other activities. So we haven't had to push those in the summer yet. But I mean, certainly always a possibility. And one of the things I'll elaborate on later is the importance of the feedback that we get from residents and driving what we do. And a lot of these new things that we've been trying or more programs have come directly from, you know, that survey that we did previously or the ongoing feedback that we receive. It's not just our team members saying, well, we want to try this. It's, well, somebody said this, so we're going to try and see how it impacts the community. And then again, just a list of kind of our additional programming there. And then special events. So a lot of special events run through community services. And I think we were very fortunate with the weather for most of 2022 for this thing. And really proud of our team for the way that we, you know, we think when the weather wasn't in our favor. You know, Bunny Trail is supposed to be outside. And the week before we said, hey, the weather's not looking great. It might snow in April. Let's move it inside. And parents and grandparents who thought their children were very appreciative of that we still held the event and found it a way to make it fun and engaging in a different space. I think everybody remembers the kind of the monsoon of home days, Friday afternoon going into that, but very fortunate that the weather, you know, held off during home days, and that being the first time that Amber and I had the chance to chair that event, we're very proud of how successful it was and look forward to building on that, you know, next year. And even Fall Fest is another great example. You know, the weather was really hairy all morning long. We made a decision to move a lot of the activities inside, and did it end up being beautiful? Sure did. Did everybody still have a good time? Absolutely. And so, again, all these different things that are coming kind of under our umbrella or events that we can assist the mayor's office with or REC, just happy to continue to be a part of them.
One thing I guess is I think we need to talk to that Santa Claus about how he makes kids cry.
All right, and then capital projects. So kind of four things that we focused on in 2022, with getting the banquet room carpets clean as well as our banquet room chairs. It did bleed into the first weekend of 2023, but that was a much needed maintenance to do to keep, you know, those rooms looking their best. You know, working with Tom, we've got new entrance rugs into the Civic Center, into our respective atriums. The rugs are starting to, you know, no longer stick to the floor, and so we wanted to make sure that everybody was safe coming in there. New atrium furniture, as you can see below, our atrium furniture had gone through its useful life, and this has been a project that was in play, since 2016, Amber? So we're excited to finally get this vinyl furniture in that will, you know, last us a long time, be easy to clean, all those different things. And then, like Tom said, being able to repurpose some furniture that was still in quality condition on the rec side. So kind of in a win-win situation all around. And then one of the things we did was just simply repaint the banquet rooms. I think we've had a conversation previously that the
the first kind of round of painting was done with the wrong type of paint, and so being able to use the correct coating, I think it will look great. If you haven't noticed it, it'll look great.
And I will say we like that new conference table that's in the atrium now, because we have staff meetings on that table, and it proves to be a real nice night. Some of the Booster Club and the Cub Scouts too have been utilizing that table for small meetings, so it's nice. Yes,
the feedback's been very positive. The only other thing that I'm looking on is some of our senior residents have made mention that the furniture might be a little deep for some of them, so we're getting some lumbar support pillows to accommodate that. And so this is just, you know, by the numbers from a revenue standpoint. So overall, for community services, $602,522 of revenue. And you can see that we've called out kind of attention to either the largest revenue generating programs, and there's obviously some miscellaneous revenue, and then the contracts and classes is our youth program, kind of other youth and adult programs that are not called listed down. But you can see that obviously our biggest drivers of revenue are before school, after school, all day care, winter and spring break camps, as well as idea camp. But those are the numbers. And then just from an attendance participation standpoint, talking about rentals. So we've heard about city department rentals. Obviously, a number of departments utilize our facility to host meetings. And so we've got 4,000 people coming in the building for those last year. For our civic center programs, activities and events, you know, 15,500 people coming in. Meals on Wheels, we have seen an increase in the number of meals served, which, you know, on one hand, we like to keep an eye on those residents who are, you know, in their homes. But again, it's great to see that people are comfortable reaching out to us and utilizing that service. It continues to be a great partnership with Vista Springs. New residents who received bags, 37, welcomed 28 new babies into the world, the city. For private rentals, just over 6,000 individuals coming in for that. The phone call numbers you can see there. And then transports, just over 1,000 there. And we have seen kind of a fluctuation in transports. When I first started, it was pretty kind of on the lower side. We actually didn't even have a full-time or a part-time transport driver when I started. We were relying on Thomas Team a lot. We're fortunate to bring Bastian Rigo on board, who's been just a tremendous asset to our team, and the residents really love riding around with him and seeing his smiling face when he comes to pick them up. So we've seen, you know, different kind of spikes. One of the trends that we are seeing is the number of people going to dialysis treatment in our community. So that's just something that we're just mindful and have a great relationship with DaVita off of Rockside, which is where typically most of those individuals go, but it's been a good partnership there.
What does city department rentals mean? That's one chair?
Like, so fire department, police department. Oh, so yes, I'm sorry, per chair or individual coming in. Okay. So we'll host, it's like the ALICE conference.
Yeah, ALICE training. There's Cleveland Clinic does a safety day through the fire department, engineering meetings. Any
all those all the in-house.
All those, yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. All those trainings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then just talking about 2023, so I'll go over a few things, and we've seen something I've analyzed, or just need for further conversation for the committee's awareness, or again, just conversation, but just really wanted to kind of reiterate our overall approach for how we, you know, look at community services as a team. And I think everybody here has heard me say before that I'm all about trying new things, and while I thought that was going to be maybe like for the first year while I was getting acclimated, it's really served our entire department well over the course of the last year and a half. So what we're really looking to do is, again, really to elevate our current program offerings and looking for ways just to make those things that we currently do bigger and better, and explore new things. Again, resident feedback really drives that, but even the kind of one-off comments that we might hear from people, we always look into whatever they share with us, and sometimes it's something that we can move forward with, sometimes it's not or not now, which goes into the evaluate part. You know, we've made a tremendous effort last year to really ask for feedback, whether it's through surveys at the drive-thru lunch, surveys at the dine-in lunches, just going into lunches for more casually, sending out surveys for summer playground and idea camp, really trying to get people's feedbacks there. And then efficiency, always trying to make sure that we can internally operate better, or our registration process is more efficient for residents. So there are always things that can be improved there, but those four things are really kind of our driving factors for everything we do. So from an administrative standpoint, just a few things I wanted to touch base on. I'll just jump into the code of conduct. So I know that it was a topic of conversation at the council meeting earlier this month. And so just wanted to bring it to the forefront if there are any additional questions from council about that. Since that meeting, since those kind of initial commentary from the phone calls that I know a couple of you received, and one resident that day who asked some, you know, very kind of generic questions, we've not received any comments, complaints, concerns, or any feedback about the code of conduct as well. Again, it's just putting simply into writing the expectations that we have, you know, for anybody that walks in our building, that you would have for anybody walking, I mean, really to your home, right? So that, but that's where it's been at. We haven't had any issues.
I did have a resident ask me, and I don't have the code of conduct in front of me, but it references the Civic Center and Fieldhouse policies and procedures. Mm-hmm. And are there existing policies and procedures that the residents are aware of for the Civic Center and the Fieldhouse?
Yes, and they're more specific for like programs and things of that nature. So like for transportation, for example, there's a policy that follows how transportation operates, you know, when residents should call, how much notice, things of that nature. So okay. So there would be nothing, no hidden policies.
But it's program specific policies, not general walk into the Civic Center and there's a policy you're supposed to adhere to.
Correct.
And we have like policies up in the way exactly you have to be clothed and then you're out there, you can take your shirt off and stuff like that. So there are like policies for certain areas of the buildings. And that code of conduct, just so everyone knows, is not uncommon. Most civic centers and community centers have a code of conduct just like that. So it's, we're just, I mean, we get into times, but we were blind on that.
And did we implement it because of issues and problems that we had with residents, or is it something that we're doing proactively just to be ahead of the curve and
basically proactive.
Yeah, it was something that I noticed when I came on coming forward that there wasn't any kind of like guideline like that. And so just in a proactive measure, because if somebody does something and it's a concern, so whether it's to you, the mayor, you know, us or other residents, there was nothing for us to fall back on to say, this is why we're implementing or making this decision to, you know, ask you to put a shirt on in the waiver or things of that nature. And so it just, again, as Tom said, is a proactive measure should any of those things occur.
And since it's been publicized, have we had to implement it? Have we had to reference it with any of our mm-hmm. residents? No.
No, and it's residents, volunteers, employees, so it applies to anybody who walks into the building. But no, we've not had to. And the goal is that we never do. It's just to have that as kind of that worst case scenario measure. And again, a lot of it's common sense. Policy, you know, if somebody puts their feet on our new furniture, we're not going to give them a global warning for that. We would just say, hey, could you please not put your feet on the furniture? So again, the goal is that we never have to actually implement it, but that we have that should we ever need to.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, if you go to a Cavaliers game, you talk about code of conduct, there's guys who have the keyword, it's code of conduct. You go to Cedar Point, there's a code of conduct. I mean, almost any place you're going out, there's a code of conduct. So, not a common. So.
Any other questions, Beth? Okay. A couple of other things we're excited to implement this year is just rethinking our communication with residents. So, in January, we launched our Community Services Community Corner, which is our e-newsletter. So it goes out on the second Monday of every month and just is a supplement to the spotlight.
And what is the number of on your distribution list for that?
So anybody who has a sportsman account with a valid email address was automatically signed up for that. So that was 3,500 people. People do have the option to opt out. It's very important when you do mailings like that. And we have a 60% open rate, which is very successful, the number of things that we're sending out. I would say, I think I'm saying like a 10 to 20% click rate, which is also good, especially we're noticing that Jen does like a community resource corner, for lack of a better term, and so she puts resources in there, and we're seeing a lot of clicks on those things, which is something we don't typically offer in the spotlight. So the fact that people are reading on those resources is encouraging that that's the right type of communication to send out for someone. And then the other thing we'll be rolling out next month is the ability to do text messages as well. So right now we can do text messages through Sportsman, but it's limited, and you can't market items through Sportsman. So we worked with a company called YSL Communications to actually have a text messaging service. So we'll be able to send more text messages and market that way, and the number actually is the community services. So somebody can text it back, and it goes into our inbox and they respond that way.
where they can actually just click on it and call from a call new service rather. So we've heard feedback, I mean, at least for the last, at least the last year and a half I've been here, about families wanting to ways to communicate with us and receive that. The spotlight is great for some, not great for others. Email works great for some, text messages are even better. So we're excited to kind of roll that out and see the response from the community there. So from a staffing perspective, Aaron Spencer, who has been our part-time assistant youth program coordinator, in February transitioned to full-time. So as we look to kind of build our bench, and again, we've expanded so much our youth and family programs at the Civic Center that that need for a full-time person is absolutely there. So we were happy to welcome her. And then we also recently posted a community services coordinator position. When Amber was promoted to assistant director and the individual who held the administrative position, administrative assistant position left, we never filled those two roles. So in this role, we're combining those two positions. So 50% of that role will be administrative and front desk overseeing related, and 50% will be adult program focus, especially on young and active adult programming. Currently, we're resorting to our adult program coordinator is the only person without a backup in our team. And so now with that hiring of that position, that'll complete our team there. City service from a room reservation standpoint, just wanted to share something with council. I know I've had a few one-off conversations with some of you in this room about allowing alcohol to be served at the Civic Center, whether that was used for private rentals or nonprofit fundraising events. And so I've done a little bit of research on my end, working with Greg O'Brien about what we're allowed to do based on kind of the ordinance that we have in place. So the ordinance that we have related to alcohol, it's a one-line ordinance that says alcohol cannot be served or consumed at Elmwood Record Town Hall. And so with the mayor's inherent power, he has the ability to authorize alcohol use at the Civic Center, which is how we've done, you know, sip and knits or, you know, home day, things of that nature. And so we would like to begin exploring how we could implement and give residents the opportunity to do that for whether it's just community fundraising events like, you know, the Kiwanis or Senior Org, who would host their annual event here if they were allowed to have, you know, consume alcohol. This would be beer and wine, non-sale, things of that nature, but would like to explore a little bit further if council is open to us doing that and having no objections.
I think
no objection.
Yeah, maybe have a discussion on a, you know, as needed basis. Like maybe the senior citizens organization, but I don't think the Civic Center should be used for wedding receptions and those sorts of events. So
correct. And that's not our goal, is to get into the wedding business. But for some of the smaller events that we're talking about are the Kiwanis, the Senior Org. So we would like to form some policy in place as well. But again, wanted to make council aware of what we learned and make sure there's no next step to exploring that further.
Yeah, so it would just be like for, like the Booster Club, for example, they rent a hall when they have their fundraiser, or if they have it at the Civic Center, that would help them because we can give them the room for free, and they can have their caterers, and they can have their, you know, like, and it would just be beer and wine, if that's what they have. So the Boosters would be one, the Kiwanis, when they have certain meetings, and then at the Seniors. And yeah, so it would be just city organizations.
Moving on to adult and senior programming, as I shared with you previously via email about our dine and lunch survey that we did, we were made aware that nutrition was more important to our residents than we were gathering from our cash flow feedback. So we've been working with Dr. Peters from the Fitness Doctors right here off Rexville Road about nutrition for some of our upcoming meals. We do plan significantly far in advance. So he's working with us on some of our future meals. We'll be coming on St. Patrick's Day, just to give the residents there an overview of kind of the changes that they'll see coming. And so we're excited about that.
Is he a dietitian?
So he himself is not a dietitian, but he runs, but he does nutrition plans for the clients that he serves and has worked with dietitians. So, you know, if we're trying to accommodate everybody's dietary needs, we're going to be serving lettuce, and that's it. So he is helping us make meals that we know that our residents like a little bit healthier. So, for example, like chili is a great example. Instead of doing, you know, ground beef chili, turkey chili,
is healthier, and here's why. So we're going to be seeing more swaps of that nature to make those changes, because while we found that it was important to residents, there was some split about whether or not that should kind of be all that we should focus on. So we're trying to make some swaps there to make them healthier and then still get feedback from the residents. So we're hopeful that those swaps accomplish what the residents would like to see, who want that really emphasis on nutrition, and who still want to come for those hearty good meals. Senior org. So we were approached earlier last year from one of the previous board members about if the city would take on senior org if they were not able to get members to join their board. There's some real concern about continuing that, and we said that of course we would. They were fortunate enough to get board members, a new board to come in for this year, and so one of the conversations we had with them was about reinvigorating our partnership with them directly in a different way. And so on March 10th, the next meeting, so next Friday, we're going to kind of be making this announcement to the membership base. And so there's been a couple of things that are going to happen, again, to empower the board to really focus on what they want to focus on. And we're going to kind of ease some of the burden of the logistical side. So, you know, the managing of the finances, taking registration for meetings and meals, membership, things of that nature. Again, a lot of what they're doing is things that we're already doing on the community services side. So really just trying to get help them, empower them, encourage them to focus on the really great aspects of senior org to let us take some of that burden off of them. So we've had that conversation with the board. They did vote to move forward before we, you know, went on a larger reach, but are excited about the possibilities and really just to support them. As we know, all know, senior org really used to be the group in Independence, and with COVID, it's kind of taken a hit, and so really just want to kind of help them reinvigorate and make senior org what it once was. And then young and active adult program will, of course, be an emphasis, as we have great programming, you know, for youth, great programming for seniors, but there's still a gap in that kind of young and adult programming, and so that'll be an emphasis for us this year, especially bringing somebody on board who'll be able to focus on that. More so than we're doing currently. Community resources. So senior snow removal service. So we all know this was a topic of conversation last year, and there was a consensus that we wanted to make sure we revisited the senior snow removal program earlier than we even did last year. So would like to put a special committee meeting on the calendar for April after the official snow season concludes. We hope this current snow season concludes. I'm trying to say April. But just wanted to know that request for a special meeting to talk about that specifically would be coming. And then youth and family programming. So while last year we really focused with Claudia and Aaron, who lead kind of this space, on kind of our school year program, because last summer was my first summer playground summer, so we're really going to focus on elevating summer playground this year. Another area of focus is our middle school and high school hangout space. So Jen's been working with the schools and has been getting some feedback from students in that age group about how they don't really want the planned program. That's not really what interests them. What they want is a space to come out and hang out, or just an opportunity with some things around to do. So that's how we're seeing our middle school Fantastic Fridays be successful. And then the first week of winter break at the end of 2022, we did a middle school hangout where there was no registration required. It was free. We had different activities come, and we had 120 kids come visit us that week, middle school age kids, which was hugely successful. So we're going to be working on and doing more middle school hangouts, and especially during the break, but also looking at the craft room as potentially being a space for those kids to come after school. So we'll be looking for the opportunity to kind of create that space that they've been asking for from us. Another area of focus is rebranding before school, after school, and all day care, as well as our winter and spring camps. There's a little bit of a connotation that those things, even with kids and parents, is that we're daycare, and that's actually not the case. We really want it to be that more of Boys and Girls Club feel, where kids get really excited to come, and they don't dread coming to before school at 7 o'clock in the morning. So we'll be going through a similar process of rebranding that, just like we did for summer camp, changing it to ISU camp previously. And then the same with the tot room. So at the start of the new year, we changed the age of children that we care for in the tot room from 6 months to 6 years to 6 months to 9 years, because 10 is the age that you can go to the rec side by yourself. So we have seen some families take advantage of that older care for the tot room, but the way that the tot room is currently decorated and the toys there are really still only appropriate for 6 months to 6 years. So if you look in the spot, we even say, you know, bear with us while we make this transition.
But we're excited about that, as parents have been asking for, and taking advantage of that. One thing I want to touch on about special events, and John, I know this was a topic that you wanted to address, was the farmer's market. So I just want Amber to give an overview of where she's taken the farmer's market since she got it, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. So when I inherited the farmer's market in 2021, it's a Sunday market, July through September, and I think we had four vendors when it fell into my lap. Last year, I decided it needed a lot of help. So I added Friday night farmer's markets during concerts from 5 to 8, so they can stop and shop after work. They can go to the concert. They can go to the food truck. So we added those, and then in addition, we are we increased our vendors, so we had 15 vendors last season. So we're slowly but surely kind of building that up and just trying to always add new people. And it's a small market, so I am trying to look for unique vendors. And when you have 15 vendors, you know, you have like one guy who does fudge, one person that does maple syrup, one person that does pet toys, so you don't have a lot of repeated items. You know, the competition in the small market is kind of, you know, kind of not so great. But like I said, I'm always looking to add new vendors. I have vendors contact me and say, hey, you know, I sell this particular product. So I'm always open to just kind of improving that. And I think it's come a long way.
So if we know of a vendor, you would be willing to talk to them to see if there's a fit. I don't know the economics of it. If it's not good for the vendors, or if they didn't want to see competition, if there's only one truck there, but if there's a second, maybe it's still okay, as long as there's enough volume there to support them.
Yeah, I mean, and volume's a big thing. I mean, if it turns out that we're getting a ton of shoppers, you know, we can always add similar vendors. Currently, where the space is at, the square, it's a little tight, and not all 15 vendors come every Friday or every Sunday, but we do have a lot of vendors that are from Seven Hills Market because they're local vendors, and the great thing about me moving the concert night to Friday and with the support of Emily was that Seven Hills Farmers Market is Thursday night, so they go to Seven Hills on Thursday, they come to us on Friday, so it's a really nice, you know, kind of thing that we have. A lot of times I'll go to pursue a vendor and they'll say, well, it takes me an hour to drive to Independence, so it's not really, you know, great for them. But if I can find more local vendors, and there's some in town that participate in our market as well, and that's really nice, is this is a great, what I like to call, starter market for smaller vendors who are kind of not super confident and ready for their product to hit the big scale. And, you know, I have a couple vendors in town that just sell at our market only, and it's, they just enjoy coming out on Friday night. Our fees are low, so you know, it's just a nice community event. So, oh, and also, I added a farmer's market at Fall Fest. So we used to always have just Luther Farms there, and then a couple of years ago, I decided to invite every vendor to come to Fall Fest, and they really enjoy that, and people enjoy that they come to Fall Fest, and like that's kind of the last market of the season. So.
How much are the fees?
So when we started the Friday market, that was a test run, so those were free, just to kind of get a feel for things. It's $5 for Sundays, $5 for Fridays. They can sign up throughout the season, and then it's an additional fee for Fall Fest. I think it's $20 or $25 for Fall Fest.
I was curious how they choose the performers, the bands playing at the concerts. Mm-hmm. I have our neighbor, your friend Roger Coach, has had a band for years, and he's tried for 4 or 5 years, I think, Mary, I think he sent you an email, and he can never get in the front door to perform. I guess they, but I've heard of one, you know, once or twice, they're a pretty good performer and everything, so I don't know how they choose who gets to perform at these things, or, you know, the residents can.
Sure. So I could speak to that. I probably have somewhere between 40 and 50 bands contact me every year for 7 to 8 spots. I go a lot on past resident feedback. Residents will say, hey, we really love that band, bring them back. Sometimes I'll have a band for 2 or 3 years in a row, and then I'll go to another band for a while. And also, I need to have a good mix. If I could have polka every week, that'd be great for me, but someone else might not want to, you know, boogie to that every week. So I do a little polka, some country, some cover bands. I've got all kinds of bands. So it's just kind of, it depends on
rotation. It depends on, you know, there's a lot of factors, and also scheduling too, because those bigger bands book fast.
Frustration over the last 5 or 6 years, you know, that at least, you know, you at least get one performance in and everything. So,
yeah.
And the team consider other days besides just Friday if there's that kind of demand from them and you can then send one play.
We could, and I mean, the bands in general, I mean, I don't really have a committee that helps decide the band. Like, I just kind of try to get variety, and I know, you know, what people have told me they like. But it's hard because everyone wants to play at our concert, and I can't, you know, I try to rotate as much as possible. But, and there's also some bands I've had that their setup doesn't work for the space. We've had a band come in, and they're, everyone brings their own sound equipment, and half of the square couldn't hear them, and I have to tell them, look, this is not an appropriate fit, but sometimes I can find other venues for them. I refer smaller bands or duos to the senior organization, for instance. They might play at some of our smaller senior events, so there's just several factors, and I'm never trying to, you know, discourage anybody, but there's, you know, there's a lot of bands I have to screen and listen to.
We do have some organizations that will reach out to us and say, hey, we'd love to play. And so we say, okay, what's your fee? We have a group that's $18,000.
That's a factor as well.
Yes. So there's that that we monitor. And I think to your point about other nights, I think, you know, one of the reasons that the Friday concerts are so popular is the fact that it is just on a Friday night. But, you know, things like, you know, we added a concert at Fall Fest after Fall Fest last year, and because we moved things inside, that changed it a little bit. So I think it's something we'll explore again this year. But any band that reaches out to us, I don't recognize particular. I don't book the bands. I don't recognize that name that you're referring to in particular. Is we do keep them for other options as well. There are other opportunities that arise in the
Amber, why don't you have a whole weekend concert? Amber Police just have 20 bands.
Boy, that sounds great, Jim.
You're gonna do that.
And there's other communities, local communities that have summer concerts here. So we also try not to compete with Roxhill or Seven Hills because people like to go to those concerts as well. So, you know.
You don't compete with which ones?
The other neighboring communities, Seven Hills, for instance, Roxhill, Broadview Heights, you know, because our residents like to go to their concerts and vice versa. So, you know, we try to
catch their night. You have the right band and the weather is nice. That Friday night is phenomenal. It's a very good thing, especially with the food truck and the farmer's market. Like, it kind of is like an evening for
people. Right. And night there was the car show on the east side. So
yeah, we're doing horses on the square again.
Yeah.
Anything else about the farmer's market? Right. So last thing with that is just updating on the Sim Center kitchen renovation. So we met last week with JME Designs, who is the company that partners with US Foods, who's our vendor that we've worked with from the get-go. And so they gave us a proposal for kind of the design component of that. So we're in the process of reviewing that. We have a meeting with them, excuse me, it's either tomorrow or Thursday to review those proposals. They're aware of our timeline of April, May, or June, and know that they can work within that. And so we should be able to kind of either revisit that or kind of push the gas and go forward after we have that conversation with them. So again, we're looking for a company to help us with the design of that. Some companies will be able to kind of essentially take the lead on the project, which could be potentially very kind of helpful because they're at their area of expertise. But the process would be to confirm the design, go out to bid for the appliances and or construction, and then start.
And that's all going to happen April, May, June?
Correct.
Is there stipulations, is it from the grant that you have it done by a certain time or that?
June 2024. So we've got plenty of time from a grant standpoint, that were the case. But again, in talking with design companies about our timeline, everybody seems very confident given the nature of the work. What we will see is that the design and the construction part will be the shortest amount of timeline. It'll be how long it takes the appliances to come in once they're ordered. So again, because we like to repurpose things, what will happen is we'll essentially remove the appliances from the kitchen while the work is done. And if an appliance hasn't come in yet, we'll just move what we currently have back in there so we can utilize the space. And then as those new appliances come in, we'll swap those out and repurpose them into other areas of the campus.
And where do you see those appliances being repurposed?
I think some of them from a rec side, whether it's at the field house, whether it's a concession stand, and there might be some other places, but those are the two that I know we've talked about specifically from the pavilion, yes.
at the rec building you upgraded not that long ago, and it's a pretty nice setup.
Great. Any additional questions from the committee? Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of work that's occurred in the last year in both departments, so thank you for your efforts and hard work.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Sorry, I missed the presentation. I didn't see it on the agenda.
Yeah, after the February council meeting, the rep Jenny Costanza was in the audience, and she approached Councilmember Verga and explained to him that there were a number of misstatements that had occurred at the meeting. And I said, well, you should have spoke up. And she said she didn't know she was allowed to speak. And it turns out that Councilmember Verga, one of your parishioners, is Ted Lux from Brecksville, who works with Jenny Costanzo. So I had received her email from Ted Lux to see if she'd be interested in coming to the meeting. Kind of went dark for a while and got with me over the weekend after the agenda had been put together. It turns out she had a grandchild last week, so she wasn't checking her email. And over the weekend, she responded and said she'd come to the meeting, so it didn't make the agenda in time.
So, what did they say? There was a misunderstanding or misinterpretation?
It sounds like we need to have a in-depth discussion on the potential or future RFP. They never lost their recertification, which was one of the things that was said during the meeting, and which kind of led me to my vote, being that I was under the belief that they weren't certified and weren't a proper aggregator of what we were pursuing for our community. But based on what both Chuck and Jenny shared with us this evening, is that they never lost their certification. They are currently providing electricity to some of our residents at this point in time. They provided the letter to all of our residents and opted out of their electric rate because it was in the best interest of our residents, because there was a cheaper alternative. And they further went on and explained all of the grants and things that they have provided to our community over the years. And Chuck sounded like we were done with them forever. But based on our discussion at the meeting, it sounded as though we opted out for now. We've got a chance to opt back in. So based on Emily's discussion with Chuck, it seemed optimistic that we can get back into their aggregation services, because it does seem to be the best opportunity for our residents.
It is a one option. I think that we've been approached by a number of different potential opportunity aggregators, and including with ourselves. So I think the fact that we've got options out there will keep everybody, it'll be a good contract. It'll give us potential to be competitive and make sure that our residents that are in this community are given full view and full opportunity to sign up with the best opportunity, best price in the future. So I was kind of perplexed when I saw them, and I didn't see it on the agenda. I wish I could have been part of that discussion.
That was too bad, because Dennis came in kind of too late to really hear.
Well, I texted him, it's because he wasn't in here, and he was kind of the guy behind all that, and then that's why he came in.
Yeah. So we really didn't have a chance to respond.
Yeah, we could have the agenda modified. We do that for council all the time, so in the future, any consideration along those lines would be appreciated.
Sure.
But yeah, there's a lot of work to do. I think maybe you would explain to the committee that
Dennis came a little bit late, so And as I said to the NOPEC representatives, you know, the goal is to find the best solution for our residents so that they will certainly be included in the RFP process. I didn't want to outspeak my area of expertise, but Dennis taking the lead on that, but I did reassure them, and Dennis reiterated when he was here, that we appreciated their service and that going back to them would certainly be an option for consideration.
I think that was one of the points that I think Mr. Council said at the meeting, that they absolutely will be given the opportunity to participate in the future.
Correct.
And so he was going to be reported the best, at least the best option for its residents and business community, so yes, yes.
And Emily informed them of that, too. Like I say, the head guy, you know, would be, you mean to sound like we're, that we cut ties and that's it, or, but, yeah, I think, like I say, we have both party have a better understanding, because for us to respond, we really didn't, we heard Dennis's presentation and what was presented at the council meeting, but, you know, we don't know how much, you know.
Yeah, other cities are doing the same thing legislatively that we have.
Yeah, it means sound like we're the only ones that.
No, they said Rodney Heights disconnected with them for a short time.
He came back, right, but then he came back.
Lost area, city council gathered to city council meeting Tuesday evening, approved an ordinance authorized the mayor to terminate the plan of operation of NOPEC. So we're not the only one that happened, it was a way to make sure everyone's competitive going down the road. So yeah, they're the most competitive, absolutely, they'll be our supplier, but if there's some other opportunity out there, then we should grant those companies the opportunity to bid on our projects and for the city as well as our residents and business community. I think we're all aligned on that, at least.
One comment that they made that I wondered about, though, is they need to make purchases for electricity and other, and possibly gas. I don't know if I understood for gas also. But if we are not aligned with them, potentially, they couldn't potentially purchase electricity on our behalf at a price point. So that might come into play with the timing.
Yeah, that could be a fact. I just disappointed in that. That's a lot of
time. Anything else from the committee? Motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Thank you, team, for a great job. Okay. New presentation.
Recording stopped.